Very pleased to be joined right now by Bernie Kosar, regular on this show. It's been an exciting couple of days. The announcement today that Jim Brown is returning to the Browns fold. And then yesterday, we were all out at First Energy Stadium again for an announcement of the Fan Festival concert featuring Jon Bon Jovi. You were there. Hanford Dixon was there. Good time.
Yeah. I think first and foremost, though, to start out with today, out of one of the beautiful things about sports, and especially football, and especially maybe some of us older guys, is the element of respect of the history, tradition, and what people have done before you. And to see Jim Brown and have his kind of day today, and have the press conference and have him back in the fold, and I spent quite a bit of yesterday with him. It's just an honor for me as a kid growing up here to see not only a great Brown, but a great player in the league, and a guy who's, you know, really doing great things with his American I Can program with the high schools and the kids and the inner cities. And I know we have here in Cleveland some issues at the public schools in terms of attendance and in terms of ninth graders coming in and getting their degrees and getting their diplomas and coming out in 12th grade. And that's something I've been pretty active with. And Jim, not only locally, but even so nationally, has just done a phenomenal job with that.
And I think it's right for the organization to have a good rapport with him. Obviously, there had been the falling out before it got ugly, but today the theme was, hey, welcome Jim back, and he's happy to be back. He forged a relationship, a good one, with Jimmy Haslam and his wife Dee Haslam, and you get the feeling that his role now is called special advisor, will be one where all the things you just talked about, his attentiveness to inner city youth and so forth, will be factored into his relationship with football players on the team, that he wants to be more than just a guy who's involved with the team. He wants to be involved with the community.
Well, I think, too, when you're involved with the community and you're helping people out, well, it's one of the influences I'm pretty proud of myself, and I know Jim is incredibly proud of, that you have influences on some of the younger people to see some of the blessings that we've been bestowed upon and that we have. And hopefully it carries over and it becomes and creates a positive influence, not only in the community, but within the locker room and within the organization, because there's a lot of younger players that sometimes also need these types of role models to see some of the ways to be able to do things.
Sure. And I know you and Jim spent a good portion of Tuesday acting. You had a chance to do your scene for the movie Draft Day. Among many Browns people involved in this, how cool was that?
Well, it was really cool just to spend the whole morning with him. Kevin Costner, Dave was part of it. He's playing the owner in the movie. But I think for me and you, I don't know if you've ever seen me quite so styling. I think Kevin Costner broke into his wardrobe thing because he knew how I dressed, and he made me look pretty good for the day.
I'll tell you what, you were when I saw you in that suit and the tie and the shoes right down, I said, this is, and again, don't hit me. I'm just saying, this isn't a typical Bernie ensemble. More of what you're wearing now, the shorts and the shirt out and all that, that's more you. But you look like a corporate executive, and I said, Bernie, you're either someone shopping well for you, or you're doing well, but then you revealed the truth.
Well, I'm not really capable of with the upbringing of mine and the old altar boy in me. I'm not really capable of lying out there.
That so Catholic guilt.
The real truth came out that, and I asked him if I could keep the outfit on all day just to kind of Eddie Haskell around, and I knew we had the press conference, and and I've been friends with Michael Stanley for a lot of years,
right?
And he's a big part of the show coming up at Fan Fest, and
yep,
a big part of it
July
yesterday.
14th, yep.
So he was a little impressed because he's another one that doesn't abode well to wearing ties. So for him to see me in one was a little bit of levity yesterday.
So that came out of wardrobe for draft day.
That came out of wardrobe very impressively. Yeah, I mean, after spending a weekend of riding ATVs with a 13-year-old son, I wasn't exactly ready to be Mr. Professional.
So what kind of actor are you? Are you good? Have you done any of this kind of stuff?
I'm friends with Drew Carey. I've done a few of those. I've done a couple of these, but I'm not going to quit my day job.
No.
And I'm even Michael was even joking with me and Bon Jovi about when we have the Fan Fest, if they can get me on stage to, maybe play a little background music or something. But Vic, let me just tell you, in all honesty, there's zero amount of musical skills and my dancing skills. If people have saw me throw passes and run, they know my musical skills leave a little bit to be desired.
All right. Well, it's something to look forward to, though, when we get to July. But, again, an exciting couple of days, and it was kicked off with the news conference announcing this fan festival coming up. And Brandon Whedon was also there. DeQuell Jackson was there. I saw that you were sitting right up there in the front row and spent some time along with Whedon and Jackson. Spent some time talking with both players. When you're getting together with another quarterback, with Brandon Whedon, for instance, what kind of stuff do you guys talk about?
Well, first and foremost, I was trying to be professional and not talk when, you know, Michael or Mr. Banner was up there talking. But, you know, football and X's and O's and OTAs coming on, you really can't help yourself. And, you know, I met Kevin Costner back in 1993 when we were in the Super Bowl the day before the game against Buffalo.
Right.
And Norv Turner was the play caller for me that part of the year. And I talked with Brandon about it the couple times we've been together in the last couple weeks. And I wanted to give him a shout-out for what he did in Oklahoma with the tornadoes and stuff. I saw it's phenomenal stuff and, you know, puts things in perspective to, you know, what's going on around us, too. Because sometimes in football, we get a little obsessed in just the game. And there's other things that go on that and it was awesome of him to get out there and help out. And God bless that his family, you know, things worked out for him. But talking about – and some other coaches have taken offense – because they're a little sensitive to this. And I'm not saying this because Norv's here, but Norv Turner was one of the best play callers that I ever had and I ever watched. And talking with Brandon about some of the things as you're putting in the system and the sense of timing and the way Norv will get you in a play and Norv will get you in a situation where you'll be able to make a play and have a guy open. Now, it's our job to find it and to find it on time. And, you know, this system is an integration of the Miami, Bear Bryant, Shula stuff that Chud was raised in, but then the Ernie Zampezi, Fouts, Air Coryell type stuff that Norv was raised in, and Norv and Chud have spent a lot of years together and have kind of integrated the system to what I really believe is one of the best vertical systems that you have. And for a guy like Wheaton with great athleticism and a big arm, this is a great opportunity for him to find guys, make plays, and establish himself in his NFL career.
Bernie Kosar joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So was he buying in? I mean, was he connecting to what you were saying about that? Could you just in terms of what you could tell, his reaction?
Well, I'm a little aggressive and obsessive on some of my points
that
with that
you.
On it, and I really believe strongly in it. So the few times now that we've been talking about it the last couple weeks, he definitely understands and could see it now. And it's one thing – back maybe a few weeks ago before you actually were on the field doing it, you know, but now a couple weeks into it, you're on the field, the core plays are put in, the core schemes of the passing tree, it's allow you can visualize it and you've actually done it, so it makes a little more sense, I think, definitely after talking with him yesterday about it.
DeQuell Jackson also there, Browns linebacker and really the foremost leader of this football team. And you could tell, too, for DeQuell, it was – I think he was excited and happy to be part of it. And he was realizing the big picture of it all, that good things are going on with this team. That when you know that you got that fan festival coming up, you had a soccer game that's going to be played tonight at First Energy Stadium, the shooting of this movie, I mean, which is also used the stadium as a backdrop in the facility here in Berea. So there are a lot of things – that are exciting and OTAs all going on at the same time with the Browns. It's a good time to be around the Browns.
It definitely is. But you know what I like about DeQuell Jackson a lot? You got, Captain America going on, draft day, the Belgium-United States game tonight, you know, the Fan Fest on the 14th with Michael and Bon Jovi. He has that obsessiveness that I love. And he was great yesterday. He was very nice. You could tell DeQuell Jackson is a linebacker who loves football, and joking with him about Ray Horton, you know, this guy we've talked about as our D coordinator, who I played against as a player with the Bengals, the disciple of Dick LeBeau, the multiple fronts, the 34 chains at the front seven. You're going to get all kinds of different looks, of which him not only being able to blitz and come free a lot in those A and B gaps with the way Ray and the Dick LeBeau type system gets guys free, also the opportunity to use his speed and athleticism to get into coverage in them zone blitzes and get underneath those slants and those unders and those pops to the tight end. I think this, just like offensively, this could be the system for Brandon Wheaton. I think this should be the system for DeQuell Jackson, and I could see it in his eyes that he believes that too.
You know, it's an interesting point because he is a guy who's had exposure to the 3-4, so he understands the concept of being an inside linebacker in that defense versus a middle linebacker in the 4-3, and he's obviously spent these past couple of years in 4-3, but going back to the 3-4 doesn't seem to him, to me, like it is to him a difficult transition, that it's natural. And to your point, it sounds like he can sense where he's going to have more involvement and have greater opportunity to do more things in this defense than he did previously.
Yeah, this is not going to be the 3-4 cover three, rush three guys, maybe send a fourth, play cover two behind it. This is a 3-4 with over and under fronts, multiple formations from the defensive side, and it's going to be a thinking man's athleticism, a 3-4 defense. I mean, this is where you create confusion, you use your athleticism, and then you have a guy with physical toughness that's basically over 250 pounds running with that type of speed and strength. This isn't the sit-back type defense that in a 3-4 may be a problem for a 4-3 linebacker, because both guards tend to get off right in basic 3-4s and get up on the middle linebackers, the inside linebackers. And these type defenses with the multiple fronts, the overs, the unders, the slants, strong and away, it makes it really challenging on the center, two guards, and backs, quarterback, as to exactly where they're coming, who's the free guy, and where you're going to be able to get pressure from and where you're going to be able to block off not getting pressure from.
So how good is it, how important is it for the quarterback, the center, those guards, everybody on the offensive side, but especially that area you're talking about, to practice against this every day? How vital and helpful is it when you go against the Steelers and the Ravens and the Bengals on a regular basis, teams that run similar versions of this defense?
When you play, and this is no casting arrows to anything in the past, whether it's the past of the last few years or the past of the last few decades, but when you play in practice against base defenses, heck, when me and you started knowing each other in Buffalo and mm-hmm. Walt Corey was in a 3-4 and the two guards were going off on the inside linebackers on every single play, and it was cover two behind it with the Will linebacker coming, and you just know it, and you do it every day in practice. Then you get up against creative-type guys like Buddy Ryan, mm-hmm. Where they're all over the place, and it's a complete train wreck. So to be able to now early, typically the defense will probably create confusion early in practice,
yep.
early in the season, early in OTAs, early in training camp. That's probably to be expected because the mental duress on the front line, quarterback, running backs, tight end, and receivers is going to be tough. That will prepare you, I think, significantly better for the real season. And when you're playing the Bengals with Zimmer, Baltimore, who moves around with Pees a lot, yep. and then LeBeau in Pittsburgh, you know you're going to see it. So you're way better off to see it from OTAs on, as opposed to just get stuck with it the week of the game.
Tremendous, Bernie. Enjoyed it. I am looking forward next year to seeing your acting day. Well, I don't know if it's your debut, but it's certainly your big shot, your big moment on the screen. And I'm already smelling Emmy.
I'm practicing my speech.
Nice. He is Bernie Kosar. He is joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And we have got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.